Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chris Hoch with us for the entire 11 o'clock hour, as he is every Thursday. Fan Hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis. Hokey, we saw the New York Giants fired their offensive line coach. The head coach, Joe Judge, I think it's Mark Colombo, the offensive line coach, fired him after what was at first portrayed as a fist fight. Later came out that it was just a very nasty verbal argument. And it got me to thinking, have you ever witnessed something like that between coaches, either behind the scenes or on the practice field?
You know, I was, since you teased that earlier in the show, I've been thinking about this, and you know, I've never seen really a heated one where it got out of control like you have to imagine it did out there in New York Giants. And what I'm hearing, maybe you heard too, was that he fired him on the spot after that nasty back and forth. And, you know, I remember thinking, as I was thinking about this, I remember being on the sideline during a game. And, you know, Coach Cowher would get that scowl, right? And he wouldn't like the way that a run play was blocked. And he would start yelling in the headset. And then you'd have big old Russ Grimm down the line, and Russ Grimm would chirp back at him, and they'd go back and forth a couple times, and they'd give that nasty glare at each other. And that's about as bad as I've seen it with the Steelers. You know, I would see it in practice sometimes when we compete good on good, first-team offense against first-team defense, and you get coaches yelling at each other. But a lot of times that was, you know, that was left on the field, and it was all in good fun, and it might have gotten a little intense at times, but I've never seen anything like you could imagine happen in the New York Giants offices out there in New York.
You know, it's funny, Chris. I was talking earlier about a guy that used to be the former Packers general manager said this stuff happens. These arguments happen more than anybody knows because, you know, it always happens behind closed doors and they keep it behind closed doors. But, you know, for it to escalate to this point where you're fired, I mean, most of the time you just kiss and make up the next day, right, after you cool off. But this one must have been really gruesome. And, you know, I don't know if the head coach is paranoid or what's going on there. But, wow, I mean, I was shocked when I heard it.
Well, I think it's a combination of a couple things, Cookie. First of all, you're losing. And nobody likes to lose. You're a first-time head coach. You're trying to establish yourself as a leader of a team. And I believe if there was full transparency, there was build up to this. That wasn't just a one-time event, right? There was something that was leading up. Maybe Coach Judge thought that Coach Colombo was talking about him or undermining him or vice versa. I mean, there was a build up to this moment. And so I believe that it wasn't just a one-off that the firing came from.
Ray Horton was a pretty fiery guy. Who was the most fiery assistant on either side of the ball that you saw during your whole time with the Steelers?
Oh, wow. Ray Horton was fired, but I don't remember him out there talking a lot of trash. I'll tell you who was fiery was Bruce Arians. I mean, listen, he would go crazy sometimes, and especially on players if they ran the wrong route, you know, in practice. I mean, I learned new curse words that I didn't even know were in the dictionary of curse words. And for Bruce Arians in moments, he was pretty fiery. He looked defensively, you know, I'm thinking through the coaches I had. A lot of them were quiet. But you had a guy, Tim Lewis was pretty mouthy back when I first came into the Steelers. As a guy that I remember, he was the coordinator, right, pit guy, Green Bay Packer, first-round drafted and coached here and coached in NFL for a long time. I mean, he would say some things. But you know, if you think about it, the unit takes on the personality of the main guy on the unit. And for most of my career, Dick LeBeau was the main guy of our defense, and he was real calm and collected. he never lost his cool. He would always stay calm. So I think that kind of trickled down to the defensive coaches.
You know, I was going to mention LeBeau, Dick, and it's Chris, it's funny to me. You say you take on the personality of your coach. You guys were as aggressive and as mean as any team out there, any unit out there, yet that wasn't his personality, was it?
It wasn't. And listen, we fought so hard for him, not only for ourselves, but we loved. I mean, listen, you talk to guys who played for Dick LeBeau, and there is a strong love for Coach LeBeau from every single one of them. I don't know if you can have one guy that would say that they didn't love him. And when you love your coach and you fight like I'll get out for that guy, and because you want to do what he asks you to do and you don't want to disappoint him. And the way that he coached, you know, a lot of times you see in coaching where a guy makes a mistake and a coach comes and he jumps down your throat and he's yelling and screaming at you. That wasn't Coach LeBeau's style. A lot of times he'd pull you aside. He wouldn't even call you out in front. You know, at times he would, but the majority of the time he'd pull you aside and talk to you. And he'd talk to you like a man and just in a normal tone voice. And he's a been there, done that guy, which he let us know. He let us know quite a bit that he was a been there, done that guy. But he knew how players wanted to be spoken to, and I think he got the most out of us because of that.
Getting to the game from last week, Chris. It was interesting to me. You know, during the broadcast, the announcer said that Tomlin told them during the broadcast meeting or whatever it is that he wanted to give Joe Burrow a, quote, appropriate welcome to the AFC North. And then you heard players after the game talking about that. T.J. Watt was one. There were a couple who said, Joe Hayden, I think, who said, yeah, we wanted to let him know right off the bat what this is going to be like in the AFC North. I really, you don't usually hear that. I liked it. So, from your eyes, and I know you watched the tape. What did you see? What did they do to him? What was their defensive game plan?
Well, listen. I mean, you want to set the tone. Let them know that every time you play the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're in for a battle, and that's why they wanted to send that message to Joe Burrow. If you look at it, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, they had four sacks in this game, but they didn't get a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow. I mean, go back and look at it. I mean, and the time they got pressure, I think one time they got pressure without a game. The three sacks they had, I mean, sorry, a sack without a game. The three sacks they had came off stunts where you send a tackle out to contain and you bring a defensive end underneath. Both of T.J. Watt's sacks came from a stunt with the defensive tackle. And so that's what was happening. They weren't winning a lot of their one-on-one battles throughout this game. I think where the message was being sent was that we're gonna come after you. We're gonna be relentless on the back end. We're not gonna allow you to line up there and read our defense. They did a great job of disguising on the back end, and particularly in the second half, where Joe Burrow just had a bear of a time completing passes and getting the ball downfield. If I can think of one time that he was kind of pushed around a little bit, was when Bud Dupree gave him a little extra business on the sideline there late in the game.
Chris, you mentioned T.J. Watt. You know, I'm looking at the odds makers out there now. They have him now as the favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. I assume you like that endorsement and would probably agree with it. Am I correct?
There's no question. I mean, listen, you look at his stats across the board. He tops in the NFL or near the top in every single category. Tackles for a loss, 9 sacks, you know, third in the NFL there. 27 quarterback hits. I believe he's first in the NFL. You know, second NFL in total pressures. I mean, this guy across the board, he's in top 2 or 3 in the NFL. So, really, if anybody deserves it, T.J. Watt deserves it. He's a game changer. He changes games, and he makes plays when you need him to make plays. And I think that needs to be taken into account when you vote for the Defensive Player of the Year.
Hokie, with this defense moving forward, really with the team moving forward, I should say. Ben was quoted the other day, I think yesterday, as saying the idea here is to win the Super Bowl, not go 16-0. I asked you about this last week. When do you think it becomes real, this chase, and how do you think it plays in the locker room with guys? Does it become a point of focus for them?
You try not to let that happen. Listen, you know they're thinking about it. You know it's in the back of their minds. I think Coach Tomlin does a great job of keeping them focused on the next game and focused solely on the next game. You know, look at his press conference this week and talking up the Jacksonville Jaguars, knowing they're a 1-8 team. They've lost 8 in a row. This is they're playing with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back and a couple guys down. So, I mean, it's a tough team to really look at and say, man, we're going to struggle. But he's going to find a way to get them zoned in and focused in. So I think Coach Tomlin's going to play a large role in that, and he does a great job of setting the message for the week. A lot of it is, too, is you have veteran leaders. A guy like Cam Hayward, a Ben Roethlisberger, Marquise Pouncey, even Vince Williams, these guys that have been around for a long time. Joe Hayden, been around for a long time. And you're looking at it going, okay, guys, listen, we're focused on the next game. And if you could stay focused that way and not be looking ahead but looking at it week by week as you should be okay and not get grabbed into that all that that hoopla with the 16-0.
Chris, you make it sound easy, though. Is it? Is it easy when everybody around you is reminding you, man, you got a chance to make history here. You know, you're going to probably be favored in every game you play down the road, or maybe you go to Buffalo, you might not be the favorite there. Is it hard to not think about that stuff?
You know, when you're outside of the locker room, that stuff's talked about when you call home, when you talk to your buddies. But I'm telling you right now, Cookie, when you go on that, they got veteran coaches on that staff. And when they walk in the Southside facility, there's no talk about 16-0. I'd be very surprised if they were talking about 16-0. And if they see guys getting complacent, I'll tell you right now, if you see a guy getting complacent on that defense, Coach Butt's going to jump down their throat. I mean, they're going to stay on them, and that's going to come from the coaches. The coaches aren't going to allow that. What happens is if you allow some complacency, if you allow guys to get away with their technique and let that technique slide a little bit week to week, from film when you see it and not point it out, that's when guys, and you allow that to happen and guys start just kind of relaxing a little bit. That's when something creeps in and you lose the game or you lose a critical playoff game.
Lastly, before we move on here, Chris, it's been widely talked about this idea of whether it would be good to lose a game before the playoffs to get it somehow out of the way. Would it?
Oh, listen, I think losing's good, unless you lose every week like the Jaguars when you're 1-8, right? I mean, but losing a game's good because here's what happens, guys. I've been there. When we went 15-1, right, and we lost early in the season and we went on to go Ben's rookie year, what happened was when you win, right, you begin to overlook and you gloss over little mistakes, little technique mistakes, little things here and there that start to pop up because, hey, we won. Okay, it's okay, we won. And as a player, it's easy to get in that mindset that, okay, it's okay, though, because ultimately we won the game and it didn't hurt us. But when you lose, you look at everything under a microscope. And you're saying, okay, what can we learn from this loss? So a loss is a good thing for you to go through as a team because it resets you a little bit, helps you refocus on the little things and your technique and making sure that you're sharpening your sword every single day that you might not do if you keep winning.
Hokie, we'll talk to you about the upcoming game next and anything else that's on Ron's mind that's on my mind. We got one more segment with Chris Hoke here on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.